Greetings, human beings, and welcome back to Apartment 303, a podcast for community fans. My name is Dave, and alongside my co-host Adam, we are here today to bring you the official final results of hashtag six seasons and a bracket. The journey that began 3 months ago, we are now ready to put a bow on for you guys. We have had many wonderful guests on throughout the last 3 months, a ton of support and feedback and just overall participation from you guys. And we are here today to, like I said, bring that all together in one place at one point. Before we get to that, though, Adam, I'd like to know where you've been, what you've been up to.
So I have been, and it's interesting, it's kind of taken a backseat to all of this bracketology stuff. I have actually been to 17 national parks this year. And since we started doing this in February, I've been to Zion National Park. I've been to Bryce Canyon, both in Utah. Capitol Reef, which is another one that people sleep on, but that's an excellent park and I highly recommend it. I just finished up a trip to Kings Canyon and Sequoia. So I am in California now getting ready to head to Yosemite tomorrow. So lots of outdoor activity, lots of running at altitude and wishing I were at sea level.
17? Is that what you said? You've been to 17 different national parks?
17 since January 1st. Yes, that's correct.
Would you guess that that is more or less than the number of podcast episodes we've put out this year?
It feels like those are the exact same number, if I'm being honest.
It's not. It's not quite. We do fall just short of 17, but things have definitely picked up steam here in Season 2 of Apartment 303. Hashtag six seasons in a bracket has been one of the most fun things I've been involved with. It's given us a chance to talk to a lot of fun people and have some great discussions about the show. This episode today, we'd like to start off by officially going through the fearsome foursome results, and then we're going to have some discussion about where things varied, both from a community perspective and from our other guests. And then we're going to end up the episode talking about the winner. Going into the fearsome foursome, the official results had Introduction to Film going up against Emotional Consequences of Broadcast Television. You guys voted to advance Introduction to Film, and that one was pretty close. Intro to Film was voted to advance by the community over Emotional Consequences. However, it was like 52-48%. So that one really could have gone either way.
Sounds like that was within the margins of error, and we don't know how to calculate margins of error.
Yeah, so that one definitely would have been close. And then on the other side, we had Remedial Chaos Theory going up against Cooperative Calligraphy. And you guys advanced that one, and it was not very close. That one was more like 3-1. It was about 75-25 split on that. So I think that gives us a good idea of where this is headed. It also gives us a good idea of where we're coming from. But to start things off, Adam, I would like to kick it to you first and start off by asking you if, and if so, how your fearsome foursome diverged from the official results. Because the way we set this up, my bracket did not. My official results did not diverge from what we ended up with. But that was kind of more due to the nature of how we ran the event. So what do you have to say on behalf of other episodes or the fearsome foursome coming at it from that angle?
Yeah, so actually, I've just got a little bit of breaking news here. I heard that several episodes have been disqualified from the six seasons in a bracket on account of performance-enhancing drugs used by the writers. So we're going to have to start the whole tournament over. So,
oh, my God. We're going to have Luis Guzman show up and give us a stern talking to. Get us back on track.
Yeah,
here.
That's right. Yeah. So for me, I also had, and again, I had my finger on the pulse a little bit or on the scale, depending on how you look at it, in terms of how my vote counted toward the official fearsome foursome. So from the season one bracket, I also had Introduction to Film, and that was one where you and I agreed on. So it made sense that that one made it as far as it did into the bracket here. In season two, I did diverge, but with a popular pick amongst podcasters, which was mixology certification. As you'll remember, Kevin and Dom and Scott, our disgraced former co-host, also really loved that episode. So it didn't feel like an upset as much as it looked like it was on paper. But talking to people who really love the show can certainly understand that. I went with Remedial Chaos Theory, even though Scott was trying to get me to pick something else. I just couldn't do it. And then for the seasons 4 through 6 bracket, I went with Emotional Consequences of Network Television. So the only difference for me is instead of having season 2 at Cooperative Calligraphy, I had Mixology Certification.
Yeah, Mixology Certification, which everyone pretty much unanimously agreed was one of, if not the most egregious, starting off as a 14 seed. We've gone through how we got our rankings, which was essentially taking them from IMDb. So it sounds like that's probably the point that the community of people who are engaged on Twitter and, you know, listen to community podcasts certainly diverges hard from the community of people who are ranking and rating these things on IMDb. And that happened throughout various parts of the bracket, but I think this was the prime example that everyone agreed on, because this was an episode, even those of us that didn't have it in our fearsome foursome, for me, it fell to Cooperative Calligraphy, which ended up going almost all the way for me. You know, even those of us who didn't have it.
If it wasn't on your paper,
there,
it was still in your heart.
Yeah, exactly. We'll get to it when at the end here, but before we spend time talking about the overall winner, I want to get to the question of blank check style, what are our top four episodes would be. And that kind of hits on Mixology Certification is an episode that, you know, in a different format, or, you know, had anything gone any different ways, that could have gone all the way. That honestly is an episode I feel like could have won this entire tournament.
Yeah, so Mixology Certification, we've detailed it quite a bit here, but it's just such a great, heartfelt episode that blends in elements of everything that Community does well. It's a further exploration of Abed as a character and how he functions with the outside world, because we see him interact with the group quite a bit, and we rarely see him branch out of that group. And it's just a fascinating look into what that would be like. And Paul F. Tompkins is absolutely magnificent. Anytime you can add him to your project, it's a win. Tig Notaro is terrific as the small role of the bartender, but just gosh, everything hits, and it really plays out Annie's anxiety in a compelling, interesting way we don't get to see on such like a personal level in many other episodes. And just the whole process of growing up and realizing that in order to become your fulfilled self, you don't have to really take into much consideration what other people think, because half the time they're wrong anyway, as in the case of The Red Door and L Street. So it's a really great episode for Troy to become the leader of the group in a lot of ways, and to do so with just terrific life advice anyway. If anyone can follow that message, you're going to live a better life. And it's rare that a show that's so funny can also be that poignant. And I will always love it for that.
Yeah, it's one of my top episodes for sure of all time from the series. And I do want to kind of go through these results here in chronological order from the show, not the way that we did it on the podcast. You know, we started out, we released our season 2 first, and we made the decision to do that to break real life chronological order, because sitting down ahead of time, it looked quite obvious that season 2 was going to be the biggest wild card going into and coming out of this project. So that's where we decided to start from a macro level. So it's fitting that the episode we think probably ended up getting the biggest snub throughout the entire thing is Mixology Certification. That being said, I'd like to kind of go back through here region by region, starting with 1, to make sure that we don't do any disservice to these episodes, because we're kind of now talking about episodes that have already had disservice done upon them, right? So for season 1, Intro to Film ended up advancing. We had strong cases made for Modern Warfare by Alex and Matt, and also the community poll voted Modern Warfare about 55%. Now, that was given the choice of, I think, 1, 2, 3, or the field. So that was significant. And the episode that did next best in the poll was Contemporary American Poultry, but that only got 25% of the vote and didn't really get much of a ruckus from the other podcasters we discussed. Not that everyone wasn't generally high on the episode, but just no one was willing to fight for it to be the champion of season one. So it seems like if there's any real divergence here or anything that got snubbed out of season one, it looks like it's Modern Warfare. Is that, would you agree with that, Adam?
I think that that's very true. And we're going to definitely come back to everything you mentioned from season one just now. Seems like kind of a microcosm of the Fearsome Foursomes in general. The other episode that got a lot of love from Alex and I, and I want to say one or two other podcasters as well, Kevin, I believe as well, really loved Comparative Religion. And that one slightly overperformed in our bracket based on just what I had expected. But again, it's just such an ambitious, terrific episode that I'm a little surprised, but I'm not completely surprised. You could say that for any of these episodes because they're all so well done.
So it looks like, looking back upon the results after the fact, season one ended up being just as contentious as season two. The main difference maybe being that how that episode faced up against the other three in the Fearsome Foursome. But there was a serious split. You and I were really the only two who voted Intro to Film. So I would be inclined to say that's an outlier, yet in our poll that I just mentioned about the Fearsome Foursome, you know, our listeners advanced that to the very final matchup over Emotional Consequences. So I feel vindicated in that sense. But then we had, like you said, multiple people speak up for Modern Warfare, and multiple people also speak up about Debate 109. Both Jen and Evil Annie advanced Debate 109 to their Fearsome Foursomes. Now, neither of them had it going farther than that, but yeah, that's a good four episodes we've mentioned from season one that both had multiple avenues of support there, and that really surprised me.
Yeah, and Debate 109 is a terrific, wonderful, outstanding episode that is, not only does it stand alone, but it ties in with the lore of other episodes. And gosh, just what a wonderful, wonderful way to bring things together. And anytime there's a higher concept going on, concept's not really the word that I'm looking for, but, you know, I've mentioned a couple times about whether it's good life advice to live by in mixology certification. Debate is discussing the entire time as an overarching arc whether man is evil or good. And it's interesting that the position that they have to take, Annie and Jeff, is that man is evil. And they set out and kind of prove that in a way that ends up revealing itself, especially in seasons 5 and 6, I think, of the show, is just how that is a central message from some parts of the writing staff.
Yeah, and perhaps you and I are the wrong people here to discuss why Modern Warfare would advance, because we didn't advance them, but we did get into that at length, both with Alex and with Matt. So if you guys want to hear more about that, you can check out a few episodes prior to this. So season two, the one we did expect to be divided, certainly way more so than season one. Not sure it ended up that way, but the results ended up being Cooperative Calligraphy, which matched with my results, and then also was the one area that your Fearsome Foursome diverged from the official results. So season two, we had, in addition to mixology certification, the episode that we said off the top of the show from the entire run was the biggest snub, comes from this bracket. But also we have conspiracy theories, got a ton of support coming out of this bracket. And I gotta say, you know, I would not have been upset for one second had that advanced. Again, that's one, along with mixology certification, that is an all-timer for me. So in terms of season two stuff, is there anything else you want to throw on the pile there? The poll results actually had advanced D&D, which went down in the first round in our bracket, to mixology certification. And that was, I think, one of the biggest surprises for me was that that was what the community voted as their favorite from season two. And then also you have Fistful, got a lot of support from the community and was certainly a chalky type answer that could have made some noise in season two. So I think I've kind of circled the season two drain here quite a bit. Adam, what do you have to say about the official results and terms of season two episodes?
I'm glad that you bring up a Fistful of paintballs, because that is almost a perfect episode of television. And it's just incredible on so many levels. We just didn't prefer it to conspiracy theories, which may actually genuinely be a perfect episode of television. And I'm so glad that Evil Annie had put that in her fearsome foursome, because it's just stupendous. And that's not a word I use lightly or ever.
But I would have been surprised if no one had it in. So I'm glad that it had some representation. That's for sure.
Definitely. It's just a matter of having to narrow down to four shows. There's 12 to 16 that are genuinely capable of making it to that point. So, yeah, that's a terrific episode. And, you know, even though I didn't vote for cooperative calligraphy when we were going through the bracket, I was overruled on that. I took notes on it. And, you know, for our discussion today, and I have a list half mile long about the things that are excellent about that episode. And I would like to say, because I don't know if we mentioned it or not, but one of the best recurring bits in this show is using a celebrity's name as either a rhyme or in as a pun. And my favorite one by far is in Cooperative Calligraphy when Pierce says, "Nice try, Stephen Fry," after Britta couldn't get a rhyme, the ending in a Y, and then she has that moment like, "Ah, oh, Stephen Fry." That is just such a brilliant writing, because it's like, hey, we've got a bit. Hey, let's subvert the expectation, and we'll make her a real person who, like, can't remember it. It isn't like this perfectly structured joke in real life, because real people aren't that funny all of the time, and sometimes the joke comes from not having it land.
So I think season two, while maybe it wasn't as evenly and perfectly divided as some of the feedback from season one, did end up being the most contentious. I don't want to go too far much farther into that yet, because it's super relevant to how this plays out. Let's move on to the season three results for a minute. We had Remedial Chaos Theory across the board. I don't think anyone actually stepped up.
Yes, 9 out of 9 podcasters agree.
There were certainly a few moments. There were a few moments where I was unsure. But I think at the end of the day, yeah, you said we went 9 out of 9. So that being said, that lined up with the community results, which had that at 55%. The community also had regionals and basic lupine urology, but they only got about 18% of the vote apiece. So those were definitely episodes that got mentioned in our official results for season three. We actually, if you guys remember a few episodes ago, we got on the subway train with Kevin, and we ended up with Digital Exploration of Interior Design being the episode from season three that got the closest, or at least was the last from that season to fall to Remedial Chaos Theory. And we also had Digital State Planning and Regional Holiday Music up there. So there were a handful of episodes from season three that certainly constituted a second tier, but I think unlike in any of the other regions, Remedial Chaos Theory still did emerge hands down in a separate tier by itself. Is there anything about any of those episodes?
That's very fair to say. And I think, you know, what you mentioned there, I've observed a pattern here. So with respect to basic lupine urology, which is a wonderful episode, it's an homage to Law and Order. And amongst the 9 podcasters that we asked specifically for their fearsome foursome, we don't have any homage episodes. So there's definitely within the sub-community that we have given a platform, there is a preference for original creations rather than homages, even though that's something that community does exceptionally well. Back in season one, you mentioned Contemporary American Poultry, and that didn't make it, even though it's, again, just a terrific, wonderful, like, you've kind of never seen this in a sitcom type thing that makes the appeal of community so great on a macro level. But when it came down to brass tacks, our community podcasters voted for original community content instead, which isn't to necessarily say that that's better or that's right. That's just, I guess, maybe part of the purists in each of us for the show that we love.
Well, I think the consensus was that one of the things all of us love about Community is that it does both of those so well. Yet,
right.
At the end of the day, when you are being forced and being held accountable to make a binary decision, you know, somebody has to win, somebody has to advance. So it did seem like the tiebreakers tended to go consistently in one way if you divide it up like that. But I wouldn't say that, you know, the community only prefers those types of episodes. You know, I think that Community does both types so well is a huge part of why it's so great and the appeal of the show.
Yeah, and we keep going back to that line that Jen used about choosing between her kids. This, you know, it comes down to that. And maybe we chose the ones that look a little more like us than our spouse. Maybe that's what that's like with the original episodes versus the homages. I don't know. I'm not a fake genealogist, so I can't say.
So the seasons 4 through 6 bracket, advanced emotional consequences of broadcast television, which in our semifinal matchup, our listeners voted to go down to Intro to Film, the winner that we advanced from season 1. Like I said, it was close, 48-52. This bracket, to me, felt kind of hollow. And there were episodes that other people did speak up for. Cooperative Polygraphy, not Calligraphy, the episode of the table read. Alex made a really great case for that. And I think that was probably the strongest case that anyone made for any of these episodes. Geothermal Escapism was one that everyone liked a lot, but no one was really willing to fight for down to the end. We did have Evil Annie really go out on a limb, I would say, and decide to ride or die with Basic Sandwich, which I thought was very noble of her. Certainly made me more interested in that episode and rewatching it after having talked to her about it. So those were really the only two other episodes I can think of that made a bunch of noise there outside of Emotional Consequences. And I did think that was kind of weird because there was a reason, and if you go back to the beginning of this, we talk about the process and, you know, how we decided on our methodologies. But we decided to put seasons 4 through 6 episodes into a bracket so that it would be more robust when compared to seasons 1, 2, and 3 by themselves. You know, we've discussed the number of episodes, but even it seems like having handicapped for that to some degree, you know, Emotional Consequences, no one really seemed willing to go up against that. Was that your read, or what are your thoughts on the seasons 4 through 6 results?
I think part of what happened, and this is kind of like the case when you have a musician that you love, you're always going to find something that you love, even if it's a bad album. And I'm not suggesting that these seasons were bad albums necessarily, but what happened is we collected all of the top stuff from seasons 4, 5, and 6, all of the premiere episodes, and it is a little bit top heavy. You know, I don't think you mentioned Basic Intergluteal Numismatics a moment ago, but that's a much beloved episode as well. So your top four from this bracket are Emotional Consequences, Ash Crack Bandit, Cooperative Polygraphy, and Geothermal Escapism. If those were in, again, if we parsed out the bracket in a different way, any one of those four could represent the last episode standing in a bracket. All four of those are good enough to beat 15 other randomly selected community episodes
from the seasons 4 through 6. Or you just mean in
general? No, I mean if we did the bracket differently and Geothermal Escapism was up against a bunch of episodes from seasons 1, 2, and 3, it could potentially beat those. It's that good of an episode.
Okay, well, maybe that's a point of divergence then. I don't think I would fully agree with that, but it's a valid standpoint, and it's hard to say. So that kind of actually,
we'll have to do it over and see.
Let's we'll come back to that at a future date. So let's get into this. This leads us nicely into the actual fearsome foursome. We didn't put up a poll for the final results, but before we actually crown the official champion, Adam, I want to ask you something I teased earlier, which is, and something you just led into nicely, which was, if I had just given you a blank check for this, we didn't do it in bracket format, and just said, you know, hey, give me your four top episodes, would it have played out the same for you? Or what would your top four have been in that context?
We've got a couple of them correct here, even as, you know, the bracket played out. Remedial Chaos Theory for me is just one of the all-time greats. I have that in my Fearsome Foursome. Mixology Certification is definitely one for me. Emotional Consequences of Film. So three of my Fearsome Foursome finalists are accurate. And I do love Introduction to Film. I'm not completely sure that it would beat out, honestly, you know, one like A Fistful of Paintballs is one that I hold in the absolute highest regard. I know I should have seen this coming because we asked everybody else who we had guest host our podcast. But it's just so hard to definitively say that, you know, and another darling that we had was Digital Exploration of Interior Design is another one that I could definitely consider in my top four. But if you're going to make me commit, I would say I'll go on record now that I've talked around it a little bit here. Remedial Chaos Theory, Emotional Consequences of Film, Mixology Certification, and I am going to commit to A Fistful of Paintballs.
Wow, I'm actually kind of surprised to hear that. So you would not have Intro to Film?
I'm kind of surprised I said it.
You wouldn't have Intro to Film in your top four. Okay, so there's definitely some divergence there. I wasn't sure at what point you would get off the Intro to Film wagon. For me, it breaks down to Remedial Chaos Theory and then a trio of episodes from season two. And it's really not close. There aren't any episodes from season one or from the 4 through 6 bracket that, for me, come close to these four episodes. The other three that I had with Remedial Chaos Theory was Cooperative Calligraphy, who I and we advanced officially, but I also had Mixology Certification in there, and then Conspiracy Theories. So essentially the three season two episodes that we agonized the most over, along with the juggernaut of the dance, Remedial Chaos Theory. So, you know, that being said, we are kind of coming from different perspectives here. It sounds like the way the bracket was broken up actually was more divided for you. At the end of the day, when it all comes down to it, you know, we end up at a place where I don't see how you cannot crown Remedial Chaos Theory as the champion. There are clearly a second tier of episodes that can be argued for that next spot, but it really seems like, you know, my suspicions have been confirmed throughout this process, and no one is willing to argue that Remedial Chaos Theory is not the best episode. Like I said, a lot of people came close. There were some other episodes that, you know, really, really performed amazingly, but at the end of the day, you know, we have all these episodes say, well, you know, had X or Y gone differently, they could have gone all the way. Well, you can't say that about Remedial Chaos Theory.
So I guess then it is with great pleasure that we have to present the Luis Guzman IMDb Memorial Trophy to Remedial Chaos Theory. And it's tough, maybe even more challenging, like in a real basketball tournament when you know for sure that you're the top seed. There's a little additional pressure there. But yeah, Remedial Chaos Theory is the 2012 Kentucky Wildcats. Everyone knows they're the best. Everyone's playing for second place. And you're just happy if you play them in a close game because it's just an unstoppable force. And everyone had that suspicion. Like we said, 9 out of 9 podcasters, or 8 out of 8, and then the official results agreed for anything on the internet to win a competition 75% to 25% is very telling. And again, especially because that's a really, really good episode that it beat. The community loves an underdog because that's what the show has been the whole time. But in this case, there is a clear winner. And I think we have spent the last 4 or 5 years here on this podcast thoroughly vetting that result.
It has been a crazy adventure. We appreciate you guys coming along for this ride. It went a lot of ways that I didn't expect. like I said, outside of this champion itself. But no surprises here on my end if we're looking at the overall champion. It was, as we've mentioned, the first episode I actually saw of the show. It's certainly one of the first episodes I would recommend to trying to hook someone new into the show. And it holds its weight. No matter what context you present it in, it comes out on top. So to crown any other episode champion, I think would have been folly. That being said, many of the twists and turns along the way may have been, but I think everyone ended up in the same place to the largest extent here.
I think so. I think that for as many different coals as we've raked and as many different hot takes as we've had, this was the fairly obvious choice. And I did want to point out, again, you watch this episode, and every time you do, you find something new. And this is probably a really easy point that I just missed initially, but in any timeline, including the darkest, Troy and Abed are still friends.
All right, that does it for this episode and all of hashtag six seasons and a bracket. You can catch deeper analysis and discussion of all of these episodes throughout the episodes we've released this year. As always, you can find Apartment 303 wherever you get your podcasts. Stay tuned, because we will be coming at you before long with our next installment, where we will be discussing all five dances. For Adam, this is Dave signing off. We will see you in the next episode of Apartment 303.